just had a week in Alsace and he's come back yesterday and he's happy to be here today. There are people who are here for the first time today. We're going to pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your love towards us. Thank you that you're always ready to receive us, to keep us near you. Truly, we want to turn towards you this morning. And to receive us, receive you as our personal Saviour. A new year is about to begin. Will it be a year like the year that's almost finished, where you try to get by trying to help others, trying to be a good person, someone who people can count on, even perhaps time to time to go to the church? It can't do any harm, but is this what God really expects from all of us, including me? Pose this question this morning. It's sure that God does not want people who try to do good, to try to improve their lives, to try to become better and better. God is radically different from us. He is perfect. There is not the least trace of evil in him. In the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5, God is light and there is no trace of darkness in him. Even if at the beginning we were created in his image, we have corrupted this image afterwards. I think that none of us would dare to honestly say that it is perfect. None of us would dare to honestly say that we are perfect. I too try to be, do the best possible, but I also can't be perfect. Because of this corruption, this impurity, this sin that is in us, there's a separation, a gap that can't be bridged between God, who is perfect. God is so different from us that he can say through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." That's in Isaiah 55, verse 8. And also elsewhere, God is totally different. And there is the Bible says in various places there is none who doeth good, not even one. We have this in two passages in the Psalms, number 14, verse 3, and 53, verse 3, and in the Epistle of the Romans, chapter 3, verse 12. It is impossible to improve ourselves to become perfect people that God would accept to be with Him. It is not like that. By trying to do good, that we can be reconciled with God. That's a bad idea. However, human beings like us, we need God. When we are faced with illness or death, we feel that there is something beyond us, something greater than us. We feel that there is something way beyond us, something greater than us. Perhaps you might know Blaise Pascal, the famous 17th century philosopher. He put it this way. There is a void in the heart of man in the form of God. So the question he posed is, how do we fill this void, this need for God in our lives? We just saw that it is not trying to do good, then how? Maybe by going to church regularly. Would this work? But I'm not sure. In the Old Testament, it was the tabernacle and then the temple of Jerusalem which held the role of the church in the old economy. The people came there to maintain the relationship with God, to offer sacrifices which put them back on good terms with God, but for a limited time only. At the next gap or the next space, it was again necessary to offer a new sacrifice, then another, and so on and so on. After the Old Testament, it was not by coming regularly to the temple that one could restore his relationship with God, not in a lasting way anyway. In the New Testament, the people who were regulars at the temple, who went there the most often, were the religious people of the time, the group and politics and it was the Pharisees, and they were a particularly fervent and pious people. They weren't the priest. They were a group of people who were particularly fervent and pious in politics and also for God. They were also the scribes, who were the teachers of the doctors of the law, as we had often said. They were proud, very proud of their knowledge. By dint or by habit of talking about the law, they forgot that it should be at the service of men and not the reverse. Mark chapter 2 verse 27, their hearts were closed to the message of love from Jesus. We see how Jesus treated them, for example, in Matthew chapter 23 verse 33. He calls them serpents a nest of vipers, you will not be able to avoid God's punishment. We understand that they did not carry Jesus in their hearts. So, according to these examples, it is not by going to the temple regularly or to church regularly that one can settle his situation or her situation with God. It's impossible. But then how can we fix a relationship with God? Well, we have to understand that by ourselves it is impossible to please God, impossible for us to restore our relationship with God and ourselves. It's only God himself that can do it, and he does it because of his love for us. The Bible tells us that God is love in 1 John 4 verse 8. He who does not have love has not known God, because God is love. Is due the same himself is love. God is love. God is love, and he loves each one of us. We must understand, it's important for us to understand, that our salvation depends only on God and his love for us. Except that by ourselves we can do nothing, only God can do it. All we have to do is recognize that despite all of our efforts, we can get nowhere. That we regret our impurity, our sin, and that we need God. The only reason for God's grace to his people, to me, to us, is nothing else apart from his love for us. It's for us that he decided to help this relationship to be. We're going to read in Isaiah 43 verse 25. It is I alone who can erase your sins. I will no longer remember your sins. In another traduction, another translation, he says, because I want to. It's because God has decided to love us and to re-establish this relationship with us. Israel was chosen not for its qualities, or for its worth, but because the Lord chose it, and God chose to love his people, and we are benefiting from this love today, and that is what allows us to see the future with hope. Finally, in our response to his love, our decision to receive God, to receive Jesus our Saviour, rests with us. It's a choice. gave us his Son, the true reason for salvation is not in us, but it's God himself who had decided to re-establish this relationship with us. It was him that has chosen to save us without cost and without price. We're at the end of the year. A new year is coming soon. It's up to us to decide whether we're going to have a year like we've had, just another year, like the one that's just finished. Or are we going to enter this new relationship with God and move into the new year? It's up to us to have it a new year, a year of renewing, a year to live with the certainty that God is with us. A year that God is going to be with us. We might regret what we've done and decided to look for forgiveness. But we have need of Jesus. I have need of you to help us to live this new life, to live this new year with Jesus. I want to live with Jesus because you love me. That's a prayer for today. Amen. I want to give thanks for the love that you have towards me. Make me a new creation in you, to serve you and to love you, to work for you, not by my efforts. Not by my trying to do better, but it's only uniquely to count on your love, because it's you, Jesus, who has done everything for me by giving your Son for me. Amen.